This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Lynn Bramer from 93XRT, and you are right now looking at the game face of one Frank Orrell, lead singer of the ensemble known as Poi Dog Pondering. We welcome Frank Orrell to the video waves of WXRT. See, it's all about game face from a gamer. It's all about attitude. It's all about adjusting yourself to be ready in 2 hours. You always look ready to me, though.
Yeah. I feel ready.
Oh, no, yeah. Don't
get it up here. No. All right. Yeah. I feel good. I feel ready. I get excited, ready for show. So.
Now, I've already taken your guitar. It's a beauty.
Attaboy.
Is this a game-worn guitar?
Yeah, this is my favorite guitar by far.
This is your favorite guitar?
It's an Aria. It's a Japanese-made. And I love it. It's perfect for me, the whammy bar and everything.
How long have you had it?
I've had it for about 8 years, and I'm searching for another one. I want to buy a second. Yeah.
Do you remember your first guitar in Hawaii?
I do. My first guitar was a Burns Baldwin, which was made out of London, and I bought it because I was a big fan of Edwin Collins from Orange Juice, and that's what he played in the Scottish band Orange Juice.
Unbelievable.
So I got now my haircut is like him, and my guitar was like him.
Now everybody's scurrying to Google to look up Orange Juice and look up the looks of that guitar. Well, Frank, you and I have known each other for a long time. WXRT started playing the Poi Dog Pondering music in the late 80s when you were starting out in Hawaii. And, you know, I was talking to our mutual friend Marty Leonards, who mm-hmm. also works at XRT today. And we were talking about Poi Dog Pondering. You started the band in Hawaii. You moved to Austin, Texas. Two of the loveliest places on the planet, really, to live.
Yep.
And then settled for the longest period of time here in Chicago. Yep. And Ronnie and I looked at each other and said, you know, we don't even know why you moved to Chicago after all these years. Things we should know that we don't know about Frank Orrell.
For when I left Honolulu and when the band first left and we came over and we were playing and we went through Austin. We really liked Austin. A lot of good musicians there. We continued on and then I ended up getting signed to this label called Texas Hotel Records, which are actually out of Los Angeles. But we moved to Austin to track the first record. But I really wanted to live in a big city. Like anytime anyone leaves Hawaii, it's like, you know, you're going to move to San Francisco, Los Angeles, or New York, you know, because, you know, if you're going to go somewhere, it's going to be a big city. So I just wanted that experience. And then wound up in Austin just for recording reasons. But then we'd be touring, you know, we toured heavily, you know, especially when we were on Sony, Columbia. Uh-huh. And we had that touring budget, and we were just running back and forth across the country. So we're going through Chicago a lot, and then we just grew to love Chicago. And so, you know, at a certain point, Max and I were just looking at each other, like wanting to get out of Austin, and Max is going, I want to go to Chicago. I was like, I'm coming with you. Let's go.
Max Crawford,
long-time
horn player in Poi Dog Pondering.
Yeah, we loaded up the truck and moved.
One of the things we love about Poi Dog is, you know, the musical depth and variety and the fact that the full-on onslaught, which people will be treated to tonight at the beautiful Tivoli Theater for this XRT show, is that at a time when every slice of our life is being carved up again and again, whether it's a workplace where they're saying, oh, we're cutting back, oh, we need fewer people, here somehow you managed to put together one of the largest ensembles that people see on stage. You have horn sections, you have backup singers. In fact, as you know, the lead singer, you step aside and let other members of the band sing lead for certain songs. You have guitarists, you have bassists. It's really a sprawling musical epiphany on stage every time you see Poi Dog Pondering. How do you manage to keep so many people together on one stage?
It's incredible, and it's not lost on me. A lot of times, I'm amazed. But I hear bands that break up just because they lost their deal or something like that. And I go, well, what were you in it for in the first place? You know, but so for us, I guess the band's it's been a band for 33 plus years, and now everyone's got a lot of skin in the game with it, that's one thing. And then everybody does something else for a living, including like solo projects or, whether it be like, I cook for a living, I also play percussion for some people, Cornell's a fireman, Susan teaches violin, everybody does something else. Max works with the Cubs.
Max Crawford, who we're talking about, plays horn for Poi Dog. He will be up in a booth at Wrigley Field, and you won't even see him, but he'll be working the scoreboard. He does it at spring training too. Doc Julin in a bunch of very notable bands. Sunshine Boys, I think, is his latest band with Frida Love Smith. So some of the members are involved in other musical projects.
Yeah, so everybody comes to. It's easy to bring. Everybody just comes in. It's like for the love of this project, and then everybody is free to do their other things, and everyone can fall into this when we have a show or we have an album that we're working on, and everybody now just loves to do it because now it's kind of like a. Like protecting a legacy kind of a thing at this point for us.
It sounds like something from the Hallmark Channel, but it's so much more than a band. It's really like a family. Yeah. And when you guys get together either for a little tour or to play, you play in Chicago a few times a year, it's more like a family reunion.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. We've been up to. Is there a process? Is there a ramping up to live performance? Because there are people that are in various places doing various things.
Yeah, we usually, it starts like, say for instance, for this one started like probably like 6 months ago, talking about the show. Then we start sending around songs. We always send around a song list, like too long, like 50 songs. I'll kind of go through and I'll trim like, what I think we should do to kind of bring something fresh to the show, And then that could be include learning new songs or whatever. We mail out those songs to everybody, and then everybody kind of does their homework, and then we come together, for a rehearsal. And there's a lot of back and forth. We call it the cut and add list, So like I'll send out a list, and everyone will send in their cuts and adds, We call Ted Cho Ted Chop because he wants to chop all the songs. I don't want to do that one.
Now, is there gamesmanship? Is that is Doc Julin the guitarist going, hey, there aren't a lot of guitar songs on this list. Let's beef up the ones with the guitar solos.
Actually, everyone's pretty good about playing for the team. I don't often get that one, but yeah. So sometimes people might kick in something, but a lot of times it just kind of makes sense. Like sometimes we call it giving something or putting a song to sleep. Like sometimes like if somebody's kind of tired of a song, then we just put it to sleep for a while. Then we'll bring it back. Then everyone can feel vibrant about it. But so.
Now you've done the idea of I saw your show where you did an entire album on stage. Was that kind of a fun thing to do, or did you feel there was some kind of artistic obligation because everybody is doing that these days?
Well, it was. I think we've only done it once, and it was Pomegranate. Pomegranate was a big deal for us. It's the first album we made in Chicago when we moved up here. It resonated with people, and it kind of resonates with us, with Chicago in general. So that was, we were at that time when we did that show. We brought out the street band, the original band from Hawaii, the band that left Hawaii and just played on the street and slept in sleeping bag. They came out. We played on the street. We played on the stage, like we did on the street. Then we did Pomegranate, and then we just did. Only songs from the new record that hadn't even been released yet. So it was like a really dramatic, but we knew that if we did Pomegranate all the way through, that people would be okay with hearing a bunch of new material later on. You know what I mean?
You had the guaranteed transfixion of everybody saying, I got to see Pomegranate, and everything else they do is kind of a bonus. That was also the period, and I love this story, of when you played Ravinia, and you're probably aware of this. Poi Dog Pondering was the first band in Ravinia's 140-year history to sell Ravinia out, because the thing at Ravinia was they said, we will always offer general admission tickets. And at WXRT, Norm Wynum, the program director at the time, and others of us, noticing this avalanche of support for the album Pomegranate, said to the people at Ravinia, you know, you're going to have to stop selling tickets. And they said, we've had the Beach Boys here. We've been in business for 100 and something years. We never stop selling tickets. People can always come here and buy tickets. And we said, I think this is a case where you're going to have to stop selling tickets. They said, oh, no, no, we'll be fine. So I was there to MC and introduce the band. And I got grabbed by somebody from Ravinia going, you got to call the station. You got to tell people to stop coming. And that was the first time in history that Ravinia ever said, okay, we're over capacity. We got to stop. We have to stop selling tickets. And now they sell out all the time. They realize they've come to a point in modern concert going where there's a limit that people will fill the place up and you can't do anymore. But I just always thought that was so cool for the Chicago band when you consider the bands and artists that have played at Ravinia for Poi Dog Pondering to be the first band to say, yeah, we can't fit anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a perfect storm. I mean, there was all the wonderful support that, you know, XRT has always given us over the years, dropping Payload into that, and there was a beautiful day, and, you know, and that's Ravinia, so people go for that. And but it was kind of definitely a perfect storm that happened for that.
Okay, well, with the lighting in here, it's getting warm, and I don't want you sweating before you get on stage. I want you sweating when you're on stage.
A cold sweat.
I want to ask you about one more thing, and you had posted this on your Facebook page, and it was a part of your life that I never knew anything about. Am I accurate that you made your own hang glider? Is that correct?
Yeah, I was, you know, in like 1973, I was like 13, and I was somewhere in junior high school, I guess, something like that. And there was a surf movie called Five Summer Stories that came out, and it had this beautiful hang gliding sequence in the movie. And so we were all mesmerized by that. And then it was hot then, you know what I mean? It was hang gliding was, right. And it was so a lot of people were jumping off with these aluminum, you know, kites and nylon sails and stuff like that. And I met this kid in the lunchroom in my junior high who was like, yeah, my brother just built one. You know, he's got the plans for it where he could use bamboo and 10-ply plastic and duct tape and fiberglass. And anyways, he got the plans from his brother, and we built it in the front yard. And that thing flew, man.
Was there anybody, any influence in your life that said, you know, building your own hang glider and then jumping off a cliff may not be a good idea?
Well, no, I mean, that's really interesting that you say that, because it was, you know, like one of the reasons why I posted that story is I sort of came to this realization that, like, my mom was fearless with me. She was like, you know, I was like, Mom, I want to build a hang glider. She's like, okay, get it together. Figure it out. You know, I jumped my first one off the roof and it crashed and broke into pieces.
Well, wait a minute. You weren't with it, were you?
I was in it.
You were in it, and it crashed to pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I was really fascinated by Odo Lilienthal. He's like an old glider. Through watching the glider stuff in the movie, then I started researching hang gliders, and then this original pioneer Odo Lilienthal is one of the original ones. We used his image on the cover of Wishing Like a Mountain, you know, for his gliders. But so he had all these homemade gliders he was making with, like, you know, I don't know, oak bark, you know, wood and all, whatever he was making it with, canvas and all these things. And he was jumping off. He eventually died.
But, by the way, he eventually died.
But the first one I made was with, you know, you go to the plumbing section in the hardware store to get that plastic, you know, tubing. And so I made this thing. You can join it with, you know, plumber's glue. And I made this thing. And that thing just went right off the roof and broke into a whole bunch of pieces. I didn't break anything, but, you know, it got a little beat up. But then this one was actually a proper one. This one was proper. The dimensions, you know, it was like no messing around. This is dimensions. And
so when you get the right dimensions and everything, how do you decide what to jump off?
Well, there was a couple of places, and you start hearing rumors. We would go up to on the windward side of Oahu. There's a place called Makapu'u where the people jump off the cliffs there all the time, and they just stay up all day long. They just go back and forth. And then you talk to those guys and go, no, you can go up to the sand dunes in Kahuku, and you can jump off there, or you can go. There's another place, I forget what it was called now, that name escapes me. But anyways, but yeah, my mom would put that thing in the surf racks, and we'd drive out there, and I would run down the hill, go up in the air for a little while, run down the hill, go up in the air for a little while. It's like this, you have to run, then fly, lifts up, boom. But, you know, I was thinking about it. I was really glad that my mom was like, you know, she wasn't like, watch out, you're going to break something. You know,
right.
She's like, she was just like,
let's put it on the car. Let's do some hang gliding.
Yeah.
And your mom, what was her attitude about something even more dangerous than hang gliding, being a professional musician?
Right. My dad was more concerned about that. He's like, oh, no.
Okay, we're going to let you go, but I hold this for
yeah, brother,
a second.
Yeah, brother, yeah.
I want to show everybody. This is my favorite chord. I think it's a G7th, G major 7th, you know, with the two.
That's a good chord.
Okay, I want you to show everybody your absolutely favorite chord.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like a weird chord.
I've written so many songs
in yeah.
that Max always jokes, if it's in G, Frank wrote it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Orrell of Poi Dog Pondering here backstage just a little while before they take the stage at the beautiful Tivoli Theater. I'm Lynn Bramer from 93XRT. Frank, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you, Brother Lynn.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.